Our scripture lesson for this morning is found in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends our reading for this morning. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we pray that you would enlighten our minds by the Spirit who proceeds from you, so that as your Son has promised, we may be led into all truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The first church that God planted in Europe, at least so far as we know from the scriptures, was founded in the city of Philippi during Paul's second missionary journey. Some 11 years after that founding of that congregation, Paul finds himself in prison, probably in Rome, but perhaps in another city. But his beloved friends in Philippi did not forget him. When they heard of his imprisonment, they took a collection and sent some financial help for the Apostle Paul. And upon receiving that help, Paul wrote this letter, the letter that we read the introduction to just a moment ago. He begins his letter like this, and it is more than a thank you letter. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi. Who are the saints that he is talking about there? Who are any saints, for that matter? We use the word saint in a lot of ways. We see somebody who's just an especially nice person, and we say, boy, she's just a saint, isn't she? Well, that's not the use that Paul has in mind. In fact, he is actually using the same root as the word that we translate as holy. And as Pastor Rank said yesterday in chapel, it means that something or someone has been set apart for God. And so really, what a saint is someone who once was separated from Christ, who is now separated for Christ, or as Paul says, separated unto Christ. Let's delve into that thought for a moment, shall we, and think about it. What does it mean that we were separated from God? Well, it means a lot of things, really, that we were separated from God. But it always has this meaning, that although you and I were knit together by God in our mother's womb, and although he is the one who created us there and brought us to life, even so, well, your heart and mine, even from that day we were born and even before the day we were born, was turned against God. Our heart would not recognize that he had a claim upon us. We didn't return the love of the one who in love created us. And, of course, we call that original sin, don't we? Just as Germans have Germans for children and Norwegians have Norwegians for children, so sinners have sinners for children. And sinners are separated from the God whose eyes are of purer substance than to behold sin, Scripture says. And so how then can someone who was separated from God ever be united with him? Well, for that to happen took two separate but related actions on the part of God. First of all, if we were ever to be united with him, then he must deal with our sin. And secondly, he must deal with our heart. First of all, he had to deal with our sin. Why couldn't I just deal with my own sin? Well, it goes back to that original sin and the state of my heart. As Luther said, our heart is like a polluted well. And if you have a polluted well, polluted water comes out of it. And that's the way our heart is. There's a constant stream of polluted actions and thoughts and words that come out of our heart. And because of this, well, there was just nothing that I could ever offer to God to buy his forgiveness, because everything I could possibly ever offer was tainted with sin. It was polluted. My guess is that if you would take a moment of introspection and look inside yourself, even now, as you reflect upon the actions of your past week, you would see the influence of that sinful heart on your actions, your thoughts, and your words. Sometimes we can hide pretty well. We can appear to be pretty good to someone else. We can look good, but so often, even behind the good things we do, there are sinful motivations. Sometimes rather than doing something to help another person just because they need it, just because I can honor God in that way, why, we do it so they might consider us to be a really nice person, huh? Sometimes our sins can be overt, but other times, boy, they can be pretty covert, can't they? Hiding behind good deeds. So if this sin was ever to be dealt with in a way that God could find satisfactory, God had to deal with it himself. And so Jesus, God the Son, took upon himself our flesh. But then he did more than that. He took our place under the law, his own law. And he fulfilled it to the letter. And finally, he went to the cross. And there, in order to pay the penalty for the sins I had committed and still do, and the sins you had committed and still do, he suffered. He suffered at the hands of sinful men, but especially at the hand of God. God punished him there on the cross for your sins, and punished him for mine, so that he could have done with those sins. They are gone. So I want you to think about that for a minute, because he has removed all your sins. The overt ones that everybody sees, at least everybody around when you commit them, and the covert sins, the ones that only you and your conscience know about. He's taken them all away, and that was the first thing he had to do if he was ever going to unite us with himself. First, he had to deal with our sins. Secondly, we said he had to deal with our heart. That is, he had to take this sinful heart that was unwilling even to trust him and coax it and gently turn it and convince it that its sins really are forgiven and that God really harbors no animosity towards me or you. As Jesus did the first work, he sends his Holy Spirit to do the second work. And for many of us, that was accomplished when he combined his word with the water on our behalf. For others, it was the word alone. But if this morning you find yourself saying, yeah, I believe he paid the price for my sins on the cross. I believe he took all my sins away. Yeah, I believe that. And he is my only hope for eternal life. If you find yourself saying that, you know what? You're a saint. You're one of his own. You may not feel like a saint, but you have been transferred from the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of his son. You're a saint. Kind of neat, isn't it? Kind of neat thought, don't you think? And let's think of one more thing as we draw to a conclusion this morning, shall we? That now that he has brought us unto himself, now that we are separated from this world for him and for his purposes, perhaps it's time to leave some of that old baggage behind. Some of those things that are just not worthy to be brought into his presence. Right? You know, maybe, I don't know, you can think about your own sins. Maybe it's a bad temper. You know, that is just not worthy of Christ, is it? Or maybe it's those websites that you have a tendency to go to, or the video games that you play that are just not worthy to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we are, because St. Paul says we've been seated in the heavenlies with him already. Let's leave those behind, shall we? And let's bow our head. Let's ask for God's help, shall we? Almighty, eternal God, we confess that we are poor sinners and cannot answer one time out of a thousand when you contend with us. But with all our hearts, we thank you that you have taken all our guilt from us and laid it upon your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and made him to atone for it. We pray now that you would graciously sustain us in faith and so govern us by your Holy Spirit that we may live according to your will in neighborly love, service, and helpfulness, and not give way to wrath or revenge, that we may not incur your wrath, but always find in you a gracious Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.